Father has it.
All right.
Everything on earth will come by. My father has it.
Hit the bridge.
Goodbye. seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else it will be added. All that I need, I know the Lord will provide. I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon the blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. My Father has it. Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it. Everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it.
Well, good morning. It is good to see so many smiling faces on this beautiful day, is it not? Huh? It is gorgeous. Thank you, Lord. We've been waiting for this. We've had a lot of clouds here. So if you're from the south and you came, we appreciate you bringing the sun. You're from the north. What a blessing. It is good to be here. Welcome. This is what we call, my name is Jason. I have the honor and privilege to be the pastor here, senior pastor. And just want to say welcome. We call this a no judgment zone. I mean, it's a place of grace. It's a place where all belong, where God wants to, he's been gathering, calling us and bringing you here through whatever means that is. And maybe you saw on the website, maybe you saw a sign or something like that that kind of pricked your heart, or maybe somebody invited you, and that's awesome. But we truly believe that God has brought you here because he wants to speak to you. And that's the thing he does in worship, is that we worship him, but really he's the one at work. And he's at work in our hearts and minds. And so I just invite you to just seek it. Because the Lord says, you seek, you will find. I mean, he's showing up. And we really believe that you're a gift that God has brought here. And we like to be able to honor your presence here also. In your worship folder is a connection card. It looks like this. If you could be so kind to fill it out. We'd love to recognize your presence with us. We love hearing how God brought you here and the reasons you're in the area. It's our way to just kind of connect and just to kind of welcome and get to know you a little bit more. Again, we really value everyone that God brings here. And whether you're here just a little bit or a lot, sometimes we're the home away from home. And for those who get to come here a couple times a year, we just always like to say welcome home, welcome back. We missed you, and we're always glad to see you. We're in a new series that we launched in last week called The Sent Disciple. And what we've been looking at is like Jesus, this Easter, Jesus is this wonderful thing. Amen? He is risen. He is risen. Indeed. Alleluia. And so we continue to celebrate. This is still a celebration of that Easter victory. And we asked this question on Easter. So Jesus did this for us and gave us an incredible gift of grace and forgiveness and hope and assurance and a comfort and a promise of his spirit, all these wonderful things. Then so what? What does that mean? And we were looking at the book of Acts and we see like disciples were sent with this great news because it profoundly changed their life. And so is this true with us. That we have been sent on mission. And we ask this question of like, what does a disciple look like? I mean, if God is shaping us for his mission, awakening hearts to Jesus every day, and by every day is everywhere, everyone, it's all of our mission, then what does it look like to be a disciple carrying it out? And this is the first look at that. It's called a vibrant follower of Jesus. We're going to look at today, and Steve's going to bring that word to us. And what does it mean to be a vibrant follower of Jesus as we're carrying out this mission? And how does that? How does God's Word and the Spirit accomplish that in us? So I invite you to rise with me and join in worship together. I love when we get to come down here early and set up because it's time to greet. It's nice to kind of connect and talk. But, man, it's also a time just to kind of keep worshiping. We worship in the car. We pray, and so we join together now, God. We unite our hearts in you. We profess our unity in you, that you have brought us together. You have made us one through your Son, Jesus Christ. And you say, where we gather, you are here, and you are here in our midst to unite us greater, to bring us up into you, the head of the body of the church, who is Christ. That Christ that is in us will grow. And people will see the Christ in us. So, Lord, as you cleared out the skies, clear out our hearts, our minds, and pour out your Spirit on us, that you may renew us, that we may delight in your will and your ways, and go here being vibrant followers of you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength. He is my portion. He's with me in the valley, he's with me in the fire, he's with me in the storm. Just praise him this morning. Let all my life testify, hallelujah, we are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul. God really loves us. God really loves us. His mercy's enough. His grace is sufficient. Come if you're needing forgiveness and healing. His mercy's enough. Oh, and this is our hope. The cross, it is spoken. Death is no more. Christ is the Lord. Oh, this is our home. Let all my testify. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul. God really loves us. God really loves us. Oh, 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 oh. Sing, what a father. What a father. What a friend. What a savior he is. Oh, what a father. What a friend. What a savior he is. Oh, what a father. What a friend. What a savior he is. Whoa, what a father. And what a friend. What a savior he is. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul. God really loves us. God really loves us.
Amen. Let's give him a hand this morning. God, we do, we thank you, Lord, that that you do truly love us, Lord. And we know that no matter where you call us, God, that you're walking that path with us, Lord, that you are active and alive in our lives today. And we just want to acknowledge that this morning.
Abound in deepest water. sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surround me, you never fail. Lord, you won't start now.
Let's declare it this morning.
And I will call upon your name. And keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours. You are mine. Oh, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. And take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Sing me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name. And keep my eyes above the wave. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine.
Father, we thank you for the truth that we are yours. And you are ours. And so we come before you today to grow deeper in our relationship with you, or perhaps begin a relationship with you. So, Father, speak to our hearts through this great example from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. You all be seated. It's good to see you. My name's Steve. I'm director of ministries here at Hope on the Beach Church. And I'm glad that you're here with us this morning. And what a beautiful place to be. And we have a great story to look at. We are getting deeper into our Sent Disciple series. And we're talking about what it looks like to be a called disciple. How does that look? Now, be honest, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you want to twitch a little, you can. Does the word disciple scare you? When you think about a church like Hope calling you to discipleship, what does that conjure up in your mind? I think a lot of people think all sorts of disciplines and time-consuming efforts and memory work and just a lot of effort. That's why we're having this series, because it's not about effort. It's not about our energy. It's about our relationship. It's about us growing and going close to Christ. It's about a walk through life where Jesus is right beside us. He is indwelling us. He is leading us. And it's really by His energy that we are disciples. It's by the power He gives us that we become vibrant followers of His. And so today, this may sound like a challenge, but I hope it relaxes you a little bit. I hope you begin to realize how little you have to put into this and how much Christ is willing to put into this. Jesus is wanting to fill you. He's wanting to indwell you. He wants His church to invest in believers. And that's what Hope on the Beach Church is about. We're about investing in believers. We're about helping folks discover their discipleship. And there's a great story in the book of Matthew. It's there in your bulletin for you if you'd like to follow along with me. This young man approaches Jesus, who he probably recognizes as one of the great rabbis of his day. And he's got a question that he's been working on for a while. And his question is still a popular question today. In my ministry, I've been asked questions similar to this a lot. His question is this. Let's read together Matthew 19. And behold, a man came up to him saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who's good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." And he said, "Which ones?" Like, you don't mean them all, do you? I mean, you got a favorite I could get in on? Which ones? And Jesus said, "You'll not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." He gave him the whole list, and the young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" In other words, "I hear you, Rabbi, and I've done that. I have had those disciplines in my life. I have obeyed the law." Is there anything I'm missing? You see, in today's world, there's a lot of people who would like to know, what's that one thing that'll get me in heaven? In my ministry through the years, I've done a lot of funerals. And there's a lot of times when a family member comes up close to me and we sit for a minute, and their question's always the same. Do you think Mom's in heaven? I didn't know your mom. Do you think she's in heaven? Oh, if anybody is, she's gotta be. And I always ask the loaded, hard, why do you think that? And more times than not, sadly, it leads to a list of all the good Mom did and what a great mother she was. No mention in a 10-minute conversation of Jesus. No mention of a life that has responded to God's call. And I always have that opportunity, or take that opportunity, to share with them what Jesus said about who goes to heaven. See, this young man had kept all the rules. He had built his life on all good behavior, but he still had the question, what am I missing? You see, number one, the world looks for one good thing to do for eternal life. The world would like us to make it easy. Well, wear red shirts on Sunday like Tiger Woods, and you can go to heaven. No. Do this behavior. No. Put this habit in your life. No. Here's the thing. Point A, we are incapable. Now, I want you to buckle down on that for a minute, will you? Because some of you may have been lying to yourself for a lot of years. We are incapable of doing good. Bible says so. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 3. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. We are so lost, so depraved, so out of touch, that we don't even have enough good in us to seek the Lord. You think, now wait a minute, Steve, you don't know anything about me. I've been seeking the Lord a long time. No, beloved. God called you. We didn't wake up one day and say, I think I need to get to know the Lord. No, we woke up one day because we recognized God calling us by name, the scripture says. God reaches to us and He awakens us. That's Hope's mission, to awaken hearts to Jesus. Every day, everyone, everywhere, to awaken. This young man had followed a bunch of rules. He had all kinds of good behavior in his life, but he needed to awaken. He needed to recognize God's call on his life. There was more that he was missing. And so Jesus says to him, if you would be perfect, And that doesn't mean without sin. That just means you want to get this completely right? You go sell what you possess and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven and come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, I've heard many a message on this passage of Scripture, on this story. I've heard many examples that included this young man. And I believe many of them are misinterpretations, because I hear many guys talk about the sin of possessions. That Jesus was telling him, you've got to give up everything you've got. See, that would be scary to me as a disciple if I had to give up everything I have. I have a precious family. I have my favorite golf clubs that are in the trunk right now. I have stuff. And I like my stuff. Don't you like your stuff? I want to be clear. Jesus is not talking to this young man about his possessions. He's talking to him about his heart. He's saying to him, you go get rid of that stuff and follow me. Give it to the poor. You don't need it if you're going to follow me. Now, the man went away sorrowful. Have you ever asked why? He said, well, yeah, he didn't want to get rid of his stuff. That could be part of it. But I think another part of it is he loved that stuff. He loved it too much to part with it. He loved too much to give it to the poor. And if he had to do that, he couldn't follow Jesus. What's the punchline here? We cannot love anything more than Jesus. That would have been a hearty amen in some places. Amen. There it is. We can't love anything. Anybody. That's what Jesus said. Jesus doesn't preach about living without possessions. He preaches about the fact that you can't love more than one king in your life. You can't love your family, your mom and your dad, your wife, your kids. You can't love them more than Christ. Can you love them? Yes. Do you serve them, help them, care for them? Sure. Can I have golf clubs in my trunk? Yes. But do I love golf more than I love the Lord? No. We heard the pastor share, I think it was last week, about his battle with fishing. And I'm going to just tell you, he's an awesome fisherman. Almost as good as I am at golf, but he is a great fisherman. And we've got some great stories, if you want to hear about them, of when the great fisherman takes the rookie out on the boat and caught redfish. Oh, that's no picnic. Not for a city boy. I got that sucker racing me all over the place. Jason's giving me instructions. I'm doing the best I can. I'm holding on, man. We got some great stories. Because he's a good fisherman. And I could see if I could fish like he could fish, where it would become a battle to become the center of what I want to do. But he beat that battle. He defeated that battle. I defeat my battle with golf. I don't choose my hobbies or even my family above my Lord. That's what a vibrant follower does. We come to love Christ more than anything. Now, can I, in a word, I won't charge you for this. This is just free old man, pawpaw preacher, telling you how it is. What's wrong with the modern church? You don't have to read books. You don't have to go sit in the library. Let me just tell you. We love way too many things more than we love Jesus. We spend time on way too much more than we do on Jesus. We spend way more money on stuff than we do on Jesus. Heard a preacher say one time, and I think it's right, you give me your calendar and your checkbook, and I'll tell you the priorities in your life. I don't even have to know you. But you give me those two things, and I'll know what you love the most. I'll know. This young man said, tell me what I got to do. And Jesus said, I will. Stop loving that and follow me. And the young man goes away. He can't do it. He says no to Jesus because the Bible says he had a great many possessions. It wasn't about the possessions. It was about how he felt toward them. I would never tell you to go sell your house, your car or cars. I would not tell you to sell your favorite instrument of hobby. But what I would ask is, do you love that more than Christ? Is that more important to you than being a vibrant follower of Jesus? Do you not have time to pray in the morning because you've got an early hobby appointment? Do you not have money to support God's mission, even the work of Hope on the Beach? You don't have money because you're spending it on all your interests. I had a deacon in one of my churches, which said something to me one day that I was a week getting over, because this was a deacon in my church. This was a man that I thought I was pouring my life into. And he, in Illinois, where my church position was, he put in a salt water swimming pool in St. Louis. Salt water swimming pool. I wasn't sure what the point was. But he came by my office one day and he said, Pastor, I just got to share with you my giving is going to go way down. I said, they fire you? Are you sick? No. I got to pay for that pool. And I don't think I've gotten the arrow out of my heart yet. And it wasn't because the church needed the money. Our God's got all the money in the world. We can live without what you're given. That's not the point. The point is, here's a man who has said he has committed his life to Christ, but he's got to prioritize a salt water pool in his backyard over his service to Christ. Have you got one of those? Have you got things in your life that you can't put in front of the Lord? Do you not have enough time to read your Bible? Do you not have time enough to pray? I'm going to ask you in just a minute to give up a little more time. But number two says we must give up anything that keeps us from following Jesus. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You've got to declare that the Lord is your king. You've got to declare that I serve no one save Jesus Christ. Nothing on this earth holds my attention like Jesus. I can enjoy it, but I'll give it up in an instant if that's what the Lord needs me to do. I make time for the Lord first, and whatever I got left, I can use on other stuff. I surrendered to the ministry when I was just 15 years old. And I can't tell you how many times my responsibilities are the call on my life to be at one place or this place. I can't tell you how many of my mom's birthdays I missed. I can't tell you how many other sibling activities I missed. My brother's basketball games that I didn't get to see enough of. Why? Because the Lord had me somewhere else. And the Lord blessed me with a family who got that. They understood that. My mom did not even begin to expect me many times, because she knew I was in this revival meeting, or I was on this mission trip, or I was doing this or doing that. Love for Jesus first. Number four, here's what I want you to consider. Following Jesus, following Jesus is a relationship, not a religion. This young man wanted to fit it into a bunch of rules. He wanted to fit it into a bunch of behavior. But you see, that all will follow a relationship. I know how to behave as a husband, not because I've read books, but because I have grown in my relationship with Judy, and I know what she needs me to be. And sometimes I am the most awesome husband on the planet. That was the key word, wasn't it? He caught me. Sometimes, and sometimes, I'm not so hot. But she's not judging that on some book. She doesn't bring me a Gary Smalley book or a James Dobson book and say, hey, Page 58, buddy, you better pick it up. That's not what she does. She says, can I tell you what I need? Ow, ow. Because I know I've messed up. I've dropped it, fumbled it. Listen, with Jesus, it's a relationship. You don't have to worry about all the disciplines in your life. The Spirit in you will help you live in relationship to Christ. You'll get it right if you just stay in relationship with Jesus. It's not rules. It's relationship. You see that little graphic in your bulletin? Looks like this. See that? I want you to take a look at that real quick. There are four quadrants that we could land in. This is just a little measurement for yourself. This is for you to take a little gut check this morning. You see, some folks live high in the Spirit. They don't need church. They don't need to learn stuff. They don't need worship. They can just go out under a tree and God speaks to me. Well, that's good. How do you know it's God? If you don't have any truth in your life. If you're up here in this quadrant, you're liable to believe God's telling you to do anything. Some old boy thought God told him to kill John Lennon. People quote God all the time. But is it based on truth? You see, if we're high in being Spirit-led, but we're low in truth, we're going to have trouble. We're going to get lost. We're going to wander a lot. We're going to follow misleadings. Now it gets worse, because if we don't have truth and we don't have Spirit, I don't think we're even awake. I don't think our heart's been awakened to the Lord yet. I think we're spiritually dead. But we begin to make our way back. I may be low in being Spirit-led, but I'm getting closer if I'm big on the truth. If I'm in the Word, I may not have a great prayer life. I may not be hearing from the Lord regularly, but He speaks to me through His Word. And so I'm getting better. I'm getting close to being a vibrant follower. And the final stop is to have the combination of the truth and the Spirit. To have the Word in my life and the Holy Spirit indwelling me, speaking to me, leading me. This is our goal. This is where vibrant followers live. And number four tells us this. We grow in relationship through Scripture and prayer. We can grow in relationship as we come to know Jesus. We need to know Him. We need to know what Jesus says. I grew up in church my whole life, and college was a real awakening for me because I got serious about Bible study. I got serious about what God's Word says. And you know what? I don't want to disparage my past or the leaders in my life, but I want to tell you, there were places where my church led me wrong. That's not what the Bible says. I have served churches that have had rules that are beyond the Bible. That's not what the Bible says. And I got in trouble plenty of time battling for the book in a church. That's what I love about Hope on the Beach Church. It's what I love about our pastor. I've always loved it about him. We met him almost 20 years ago. And what I have always learned about him, we come from different backgrounds, different lives, different experiences, but we have always found common ground in God's Word. Because that's His Word. He says it. We grow through that Word. We grow through prayer. So let me finish with this. Number five, we must be Spirit-led. We have got to stay in the Spirit. Let me give you a clue. If you walk in the Spirit, if the Spirit indwells you and gives you guidance, you will always put Jesus first. You can't tell me you could be purple in the face. You would never convince me that the Holy Spirit would ever put something earthly ahead of Jesus Christ. Won't happen. Can't happen. So if the Spirit leads me, Jesus will always be first. Now I want to ask you, I want to invite you, in fact, that verse, look at Galatians 5. Those who belong in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25, that's our memory verse. Let's say it together. If we live by the Spirit, we let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If I'm going to live guided by the Holy Spirit, then I need to stay in step with the Spirit. I need to go where He goes. Follow the Spirit. If you want to be a vibrant follower of Christ, if you want to be a sent disciple, don't let it scare you. Discipleship shouldn't scare you. It is simply a commitment to follow Christ, a relationship with Him. Now, I want to call your attention to your Connect card. And on the back of the Connect card, you're going to find a little section saying, I want to connect to these huddles called Disciple Huddles. Here's what we're asking folks to do. There are five steps or five important discussions we need to have about becoming a called disciple. We need to be a vibrant follower. We need to be a 2 a.m. friend. We need to be a courageous life giver. We need to be a resilient missionary. There are parts in our life that need to be developed and committed afresh to Christ. And so what I'm going to do is offer what we're calling huddles. I'm inviting all of you. You just start by telling me, yeah, I want to do one of these. We're going to start May 20 and 22. takes us 6 weeks for an hour a week. That's all I need, an hour. Small groups, six or eight. No more than that. We're going to cut it off, and we'll get you the next time around if we fill up. But I would like to get as many of you as want to be a called disciple, as many of you as really deeply want to love the Lord, I'd like to get us in a discussion about what that means, what that looks like. And the goal is that all of us at Hope will work through this, and that Hope would be a church full of called disciples, of vibrant followers. Now here's the punch, then I'm done. Do you love Jesus enough? It's not meant to be a guilt trip, it's a question. Do you love him enough to go deeper? That's what this is for. It's an opportunity. Father, we ask that you would move upon our hearts and help us to see our way into a huddle, to give up 6 hours of our life in order to go deeper with you, to know what it looks like, to know how to do it so I can do it for the rest of my life. Help us, Father, to commit to that investment. In Jesus' precious name, we pray that we may love you that much. In Jesus' name.
Continue our prayer in the prayer the Lord taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It's really just about relationship. And when we don't have that relationship, we tend to see it as rules. And we have an opportunity to express our relationship, our love with our Lord with our offerings. All our offerings are love offerings back to Him. Say, God, we honor, we love you. We're not going to have two masters. You're going to be the master. We're not going to let money master over us. So in your worship folders, the offering envelope, you can use the QR code or go on the Hope on the Beach website and our text to give to express that love to Him. As you do that, you know, we're in a process, because there's a little confusion. I want to bring it up again. We are extending another beach service on Inlet Beach, and that is right now worshiping on the third Sunday only. They're out there right now with a prayer tent, and we're building our presence out there. And in order to enable that, I mean, it's a love of our congregation of the Lord that we just found that what God's called us to do when He's put on our hearts. And we're inviting you to be part of that. I mean, you could do that in your offering, but also, man, in your time and service, help break down after the service, sign up about being part of the team, either here or there. It's going to take more of us to extend, and we're just walking while God's been putting this on our heart, this burden, and we don't have like all the manpower to keep stretching, but we believe God's called us there, so we're going to keep stretching and trust that He will bring and touch other people's hearts to jump in and help out. In your worship folder, you see that connection card that Steve put out to you. And man, those huddles, a great time of not just you expressing your love, but you growing in love. I mean, we want, this is a place of belonging, and those huddles are a place of becoming. Becoming what Christ has called us to be. And so yeah, you belong. I want you to start becoming, to grow. to grow in that word, grow in that relationship, and we're going to grow together. Also, you see in your worship folder, your prayer request, also, the women have pasta. I'm real excited about that. I love pasta, and homemade is best, so come learn. Great fellowship, great time to grow in love. And youth group, man, our kids, what a loving community this group is. If you got youth, this is a place to belong. And I'm just watching these kids grow each Wednesday as I pop in. And I'm Chris, you've done a great job. God's worked on you. Worked through you, I should say. Also, we have an opportunity. We're loving the community around us and to really support foster children and let them know they're not alone. And they're having a camp. And so we want to be a partner and sponsor and help them. And so take the card. You can read about how you can do that also in your worship folder. And so we're going to continue our worship as we do. You can take your offering envelope, your connection cards, and put on the buckets as they go by. And I invite you to rise as we continue to worship together. That because the Lord, as Steve started, like the Lord's called you, Lord holds you, Lord sustains us in this loving relationship by His Spirit, by His Word, but also in this meal. And one of the things I love about the story that we shared today is that despite Him going away, be sad, at least you can admire one thing. And I admire one thing about this person. He was honest. He was honest about himself. Wasn't playing games with God. And if you're, I don't know if like me, if you're honest, I mean, there's areas of my life where I'm in all those quadrants at times. You move around. We're not perfect. We got dead places. And maybe we've been hard towards God. We don't have truth spoken into that. We don't even have emotions in it. We don't even have like, the Spirit in those areas of our life. We got areas of life, man, we're rigid in truth and critical. I got areas of life, I'm just all about, man, whatever feels right. And I call that the Spirit. And then there's areas, man, where God's Word and Spirit are just, it's where God's working. And I know it. So I want to give you an opportunity, Lord, just to join in confession. Because, Lord, as Steve so said, well, I don't want anything. I want to love anything else more than you. God, I don't want to worship the gifts and not the giver. You've given such great gifts to us. And they're to be steward. And you're a good father. You love your son. We talk about the prodigal son, the prodigal father. I mean, you poured out love generously. You gave them abundantly. You gave them stuff. You gave them things to enjoy. create this world for us to enjoy. He didn't say, I mean, if you didn't want us to enjoy life, you would put us in a box. You could send a boredom. You could have forced us to love you, but you invite us, you call us. You say, look, I give you my goodness, not so you fall in love with that, but that you would know my love and how much I love you. And I didn't just give you worldly goodness, I gave you spiritual goodness. I gave you my only son who died for you, who could free you from yourself and this world to live a much more joyful life with the Lord, with his peace, his grace and mercy are new every morning. And so Lord, we come in all these quadrants, all this brokenness and our dead life, say, awaken us. Renew this heart in you. Man, if that's your confession today, then it's my honor as a called or named servant of the word to announce unto you that all your sins forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ, who's died and has risen for you. Amen? You're gone. And so the Lord comes to feed us. The Lord comes, this covenant relationship he's made with us. Like, God is faithful. He's not changing. He's ever love fixed on you. And he's saying, look, this is what this meal says. My love is fixed in you in your worst place when you were a sinner, when you were rebellious, when you were dead to me. I made you alive. And my love doesn't change. So he gives himself to us, so he dwells in us, so we can be spirit-led, that we can know him, and we can grow in his love. Because in this meal is Jesus. Because that's what his word says. For the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was betrayed, he took bread, and after he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body given for you for forgiveness of sins. And often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, and after he gave thanks, he gave it and said, drink of it, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant, new relationship. Shed for you, for forgiveness of sins. Do not offer as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so we gather in the unity of Christ. And to gather in that unity of Christ, we recognize, God, we are sinners. We're still got dead spots. We need you. And God, we realize that you're God of grace and mercy who comes to us, keeps coming, keeps calling us. And you come to us and call us in this meal where this bread and wine, your presence is there. That's all we know because your word says, so we believe. And that we're longing that we keep growing. We keep growing. If that's your heart, you're welcome to come to this table and receive the blessing. And if you're not there, that's okay. And you're welcome to stay seated and worship. Are you welcome to come out with your arms closed and across, and we will gladly say a blessing over you. And as you come forth, I will have the bread in the middle. You can go to either side and take the bread and then dip it in the wine and then partake. And so I will commune the guys up here as we continue to worship, and then I will invite you forward and just come forward. If you cannot come forward because of physically whatever, I will come to you. You let one of the people know, and I will gladly do that. Do not feel ashamed or bad about that. I mean, sand is not easy to walk on. I totally understand.